Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Acts. Peter addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Easter is an odd season. It is also a season that this, in its weirdness, necessitates that the first reading be called, well, the first reading. You see, many of us remember the day when, well, the first reading was always an Old Testament reading, and it was introduced as such. But during Eastertide, the first reading is not from the Old Testament. Rather, it is from the book of Acts. Each week, the church explores the life of the early church in that first reading. Last week, the church heard about identity in the resurrected Christ that was so deep that people willingly sold their possessions for the sake of caring for one another in community. This week, the church hears about an earlier episode where the disciples enact healing in Jerusalem at the temple. Now, this healing moment, well, it attracts a crowd. And that crowd provides an opportunity for Peter to preach. Now, Peter is quick to ensure that people understood that the power and authority for such a healing is not human. Rather, this healing is from God in the name of Jesus Christ. Their human abilities could do nothing like this. Peter then does a quick trip down memory lane, reminding the people that Jesus had come preaching about healing and a way forward. He reminded them that this Jesus had many identities, and ultimately, the people surrounding the temple community rejected him. Peter proceeds to remind them that they did not know that they were participating in God's saving work by handing Jesus over to death and to the resurrection. Now, even though those people were complicit, Peter exhorts them to repent and turn to God. He holds out the promise of their sins being wiped out and the promise of times of refreshing that may come from the presence of Jesus for them. Healing, restoration to community, repentance, forgiveness, times of refreshing. It is a tall order. Certainly, it can only be accomplished by God's activity in and through Jesus Christ. I find myself thinking about a friend whose mental health was, well, precarious. She rejoined her congregation, and over time, in a small Bible study group, allowed that small group to get to know her. And as time went by, that circle of faithful friends helped her to identify when new episodes of her health condition were coming forth. And as those shifts were identified earlier and earlier, and as she trusted that group, they risked, well, speaking truth to her gently and kindly. And from that, she started seeking treatment earlier and earlier. Through that community, she said, she was restored to health. This is God's work, she told me. I find myself thinking about being a new pastor in the community and not knowing people very well. And I saw a member of the congregation and asked him to help run the video booth in that congregation. And he agreed to do it. Over time, he ended up serving pretty regularly. In fact, he was the video operator for some fairly substantial funerals in that congregation. Now, I didn't know. So when members of that congregation came to me expressing that they were astonished that this individual would come through like that, I was astonished that they believed that. I didn't know the history. I didn't know any better. In addition, before I had reached out to this individual, there were other members of the congregation who had been inviting him already to attend worship and to participate in other ways. You see, those members of that church community restored him to community. I find myself thinking about repentance. Oftentimes, people talk about repentance in the mode of turning around. Certainly, the Hebrew word for repentance that is often retranslated does have that impulse to turn. But that raises a question for me. What are we turning around to? Is it some perfection of the past? Some think it is a return to, well, the innocence and the life of Eden, where all was well. What if repentance and repentant turning meant directing ourselves and our attention not to the past, but to the future? Perhaps turning to God is actually about being transformed in a way that draws each one of the faithful toward the fulfillment of God's desire for all creation. The Greek word translated repent carries that impulse. To repent is to be transformed in mind and in thinking and indeed in our whole being. It draws the believer closer and beyond the known and the broken and into new life. Peter points to that promise in saying that repentance is so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The first century church was called beyond all that they knew and expected. They were quite often astonished by what they witnessed happening by the activity of the Holy Spirit. Some resorted to deep piety to resist these new ways of welcoming, of loving, of offering new life. New opportunities, new chances. Peter and the disciples, though, found themselves over and over again called to embrace, to sustain and affirm others, sometimes surprising others. Lame people, eunuchs, Roman centurions. It seemed that every boundary they wanted to hold, God was wiping out for the sake of the world. In the 21st century world, the church is similarly called to witness and proclaim this divine power of healing, of restoration to community, repentance, forgiveness, and refreshing life.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, andrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.